Boston fans, this is what you've been waiting for.
Thomas, in the paint, tries to spin it up and down.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Into Crowder, takes it. Got it! 8 tenths of a second to go!
So what are you waiting for? Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
What happened here? Marcus Smart at the buzzer!
Welcome to the CLNS Radio Celtics post-game show. Once again, my name is Jeff Thomas. I'll be alongside Corey Prescott here for the second time in a row for us. But we're going to be breaking down the Celtics-Raptors game tonight. Raptors win 115-109. Another heartbreaking close loss, this time on the road for the Celtics. This episode is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free trial, visit Lynda.com/CLNS. That's Lynda.com/CLNS. You can join the conversation on Facebook at www.facebook.com/CLNSfans and on Twitter at CLNS Radio. Make sure you check all of that out. We'll be with you here for the next hour breaking down this game. DeMar DeRozan for the Raptors killed the Celtics with 34 points on 13 of 25 shooting. A lot of good stats and numbers for this game. It was a very close game, high scoring, but the Celtics fall to 22-21. I'm going to put Corey on here and welcome him in. Corey, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, man, another heartbreaker, right? The Celtics late game woes continue. They lost the last game against Dallas. In the last remaining seconds, this one, they had a chance to come back and win it. And then Brad Stevens drew up a play. They definitely didn't run the play he drew up. Isaiah Thomas throws in the backcourt, and that really was the end. But you see the Celtics late game woes kind of rear its ugly head yet again against a really good Toronto team who's actually second best in the Eastern Conference right now.
Yeah, we'll get to the Raptors here. Here's a stat for you. Got it from Sean Grandy. Play-by-play Boston Celtics on the radio. Celtics in games decided by 8 or fewer points are 5-14. That's about all you need to know there. Not good at all.
Yikes.
And I mean, Corey, the late game execution, they don't. First of all, yes, Isaiah Thomas is a great player and is a deserving all-star, in my opinion, even though he most likely won't get it. But he doesn't seem to, you know, he's not a 3-point threat like some other guys in the league are. So that kind of takes that out at the end. And if he doesn't get to the basket at the right time with the right guys under the basket, he has a little trouble, hitting on the inside shots when there's, you know, 6'7" or 6'11" guys standing down there. So that kind of renders him a little ineffective at the end of the game. It's not the right situation. Many of other guys, Avery Bradley hasn't been effective in late game recently. And other than that, I mean, you just have a bunch of streaky guys who you're not sure if they're going to be able to get a shot off or not. So it's tough to know who you can draw a play up for, and then it's also tough to know who's going to take over and if anyone's actually going to make the shot. And as we see, 5-14 in close games, it's not really happening.
Yeah, I mean, normally Stevens draws up a play, and if they don't execute it, it's off of a missed shot that, you know, the play is executed well, but it comes off a missed shot. Tonight, it was just a clear lack of composure. I mean, they threw the ball away. They were lucky to get the ball back again. The offense at the end of games, if they're not running a set play to Jay Crowder, it's Isaiah doing isolation plays and coming against a guy who's really good at defense. I mean, Kyle Lowry's a pickpocket, all defensive presence, and Isaiah Thomas was kind of really just dribbling around looking for players, kind of improvising. And at the end of games, a 5'9" point guard really just running around, making plays when the defense is really honing in on them, it's not going to work. The Celtics are playing to their capacity right now. I think so. They don't have the guys, the end of game guys, to execute, you know, the easy kind of plays. They don't have a DeMar DeRozan who can, easily get to the line, create shots for himself, create shots for other guys. It's just everything's difficult for them, and they're playing against a really good team in Toronto. And you know, when they go small like that, we saw that this whole game, they really emphasized going small. They got killed on the glass, and that was one of the big differences in the loss.
That's the thing at the end of the game, is like you said, the Celtics don't have a go-to guy. The Raptors have DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry. If they want inside play, they have Jonas Valanciunas, who didn't miss a shot the entire night, 9 for 9. So you have all these guys who you know can score at the end of the game, and the Celtics just don't have that. And you see the difference in the late game play. You're sitting there thinking, okay, it's a 2-point game. Who are the Celtics going to give it to? Not sure. Who are the Raptors going to give it to? DeRozan scored 32 points. Why wouldn't you give him the ball with 46 seconds left and he buries a shot that puts him up by 4? It made perfect sense. And I'm sitting there thinking, 2-point game, they have the score you need. We don't. What are the odds of winning this game? Probably not as good as you want them to be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as bad as Valanciunas seems to look, I mean, those shot fakes are maddening. It's kind of funny watching him do that 3 or 4 times in a row. But yeah, he finishes 9 of 9 from the field, 12 rebounds, and he's great at rolling to the basket. He's a big presence, literally and figuratively, around the hoop. And the Celtics miss a guy like that, and they're missing guys that can just create their own offense outside of Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, that's the problem. And I, in my opinion, disagree if you want, but the Celtics have been missing Ray Allen since the second he walked out of the door, every time late game.
Yeah, I mean, that too, missing a key sharpshooter, but I guess Olynyk's kind of starting to fill that role. I would have liked to have seen Olynyk get more involved in the offense. Only 10 shots for him in 31 minutes of play. I mean, if they're going to play him at the 5, you know, a bunch of times, I know they don't do that the whole game, but if they're going to do that at all, they really need to get him involved in the offense going against whoever was guarding him. I know Biombo was guarding him a little bit, Valanciunas, I think Patterson took him a little bit. But if they're going to get abused in the boards, they need to expose the other team's defense as well. And I think Olynyk, the way he's feeling it right now, you don't want to lose that touch. So you really, you got to force feed it to him a little bit.
Good. I'm glad you brought him up. I wanted to discuss him. He was one of my notches on my checklist. And this guy, he's just been on fire. His 3-point shooting is so good. He's shooting 42.6% before this game for the season from 3. And as I said, during the game, Ray Allen has the Celtics single season record for 3-point field goal percentage throughout his whole season with 44%. Kelly's only 1.5% behind that with half the season left. So he could potentially be making history. He's shooting fantastic. He's shooting 45% from the field. You know, he's finally getting some minutes recently. He's played more recently, and he's doing a lot with it. The guy's a great offensive player.
Yeah, and the one knock against him has always been consistency, and I guess rebounding too. He's not a good rebounder for somebody who's close to 7 feet. But if you're starting to see that consistency, which it seems like we are a little bit in the month of December and January, he's averaging, you know, close to 12 points. And the month of January before coming into this game, he was shooting 50% from 3, which is bonkers. So it's nice seeing this guy kind of come into his own a little bit. See if he can kind of take the reins off that starting power forward position. It seems like Stevens likes the way the starting lineup goes, leaving Jarrett Sullinger, his really good defense in there for the starting lineup, and letting Kelly kind of come in and take over the second unit. But it is a positive that he's really doing this for the team, because without him, they don't really have that that stretch forward that can really shoot the 3.
And his shooting can be really valuable for a team that is looking for shooting, as we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes here, getting that shooting going, that you need the consistent shooting and scoring. And just going over Olynyk's numbers before we move on from him, last 5 games, 11 points in 15 minutes, 21 points in 26 minutes, 11 points in 20 minutes, 17 points in 25 minutes, and 18 points in 31 minutes. The guy's making real good use of his time, isn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, very, very efficient. I think it's the rebounding. If he can't rebound out there and he's guarding opposing centers, the Celtics are just going to get destroyed, which has happened more recently. You saw it in that Dallas game when he was going up against Petrulia and Dirk Nowitzki. The Celtics were getting really, really crushed on the boards. But if he can improve that, I'm not sure if he can do that overnight or if that has to happen progressively throughout the offseason. But if he can improve that, I think the Celtics have a really good blue chipper going forward.
Yeah, I think he's definitely something to watch for. Obviously, you need both offense and defense, but take it one at a time. He's definitely gotten better at offense as his career's gone on, so now he's just got to get the two-way game so he can be a more valuable player. We'll get to some more stats and some more about the game in a minute. Just want to remind everyone, you can call in at 347-215-7771 to the FanDuel toll-free call line. We'll be taking the calls in a little bit here. Call lines are powered by FanDuel, and the NBA season is in full swing. You can play against your friends anytime on FanDuel. Head-to-head, private leagues, never been easier. You think you know basketball? Prove it at FanDuel.com. It's the best place to play one-day fantasy basketball. You can pick a team of 9 players with just players from that night's game, and payouts will be in your account the next morning. League starts at $1. You can play whenever you want. It finally pays off to be a fan, so make sure you head over to FanDuel.com, use the CLNS promo code Celtics, and play. FANDUEL.com, FanDuel.com. Check it out. We'll be doing that a little bit later in the show. For now, we'll keep breaking this down here. Once again, Corey Prescott, Jess Thomas here on the Celtics postgame show at CLNS Radio. Really high-scoring game tonight. Raptors outscored the Celtics 35-27 in the first quarter. Celtics threw it right back in their face in the second quarter, scoring 35 points of their own, 35-21. And the Celtics actually held a 62-56 halftime lead. Toronto exploded in the third quarter with 40 points, and the score was 96-90 after three. Celtics scored 28 points. And then the fourth quarter, scoring slowed down 19 apiece to end in the 115-109 score. Halftime, the Celtics were shooting 57%. Raptors were shooting about 55-56. So the shooting is through the roof. Not a lot of defense. So I want to hear your thoughts from the stats standpoint of the game, and also just in terms of offense recently, Corey. The Celtics have scored over 100 points on the last 6 games, and the defense is just not there because the Celtics are scoring, you know, 105, 110, 115, but they're also giving up the same, if not more. You know, 120 against the Knicks, 115 tonight. 103 against the Suns. There's a lot of high scoring games. 117 against Washington. So been a lot of offensive games, and defense was kind of the calling card early in the season. So basing off of tonight in the past, what's going on with the D?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is a bit troubling to see them give up so many points, and it's so many easy baskets too. A lot of penetration going into paint, and just going off of tonight, I mean, DeMar DeRozan, he leads the league in drives per game, and he leads the league, I believe, or second to James Harden in free throw attempts per game. Mm-hmm. So you have to expect he's not shooting a three. He shoots 27% from three. They put Avery Bradley on him most of the night, and it didn't seem like Avery was doing much of anything. Stopping him from penetrating. He was DeRozan was rising over him for easy jumpers. It would have been interesting to see if Stevens would have put Smart on DeRozan. I mean, Smart's by far their best perimeter defensive player and maybe their best defender overall next to Jay Crowder. It is strange to see them give up so many points, and they're giving up points to, you know, guys like DeRozan, Aflalo, you know, a lot of wing players, a lot of guards, which has not usually been the case in prior seasons with Bradley, Smart this season. I know Turner's really improved his defensive game this year. The Celtics like to go small, allows them to switch. That's why you see Jarepko play so many minutes when, you know, a lot of guys are screaming for him to get off the court. And, you know, you see David Lee get pinned to the bench. And even Zeller, he got a few minutes tonight, but he really wasn't a big factor. And he's probably not going to be a big factor going forward. Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do if they keep giving up this amount of points and this kind of field goal percentage against them. But they like going small. They like being able to switch their best offense as well. So it's kind of pick your poison with what they want to do. But, yeah, like I said, again, I mean, it'll be interesting going forward to see what they do.
Yeah, it's definitely discouraging to be giving up so many easy baskets and the best players having their way. You want to have that guy that can shut down the best players. But like you said, DeRozan having his way, Aaron Aflalo having his way. A lot of guys who you know are going to score are scoring, and they're not stopping them, and they're giving up a ton of points. little discouraging because you want to base your team around a defensive mindset, and it's just not getting done recently. And you know, they're inconsistent with the a lot of points given up. I think they're 4-4 in their last 8 games of giving up 100 points or something like that. So like when they're giving up points, they're winning sometimes, they're losing sometimes. So it's kind of inconsistent. Kind of like the whole season, 22-21. They're right around 500. They're good sometimes, they're not good sometimes. It's just a little maddening trying to figure out, but that's just a young team, and hopefully they can put it together. You know, we'll just keep waiting, and they might need a trade, right, at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do with the trade deadline because they have a lot of ways they could go. I mean, they could really – fans don't want to see this, but they could sell parts. They could go for parts. They could go for, a player with a longer contract. They could trade one of the draft picks or maybe package – you know, like a guy like RJ Hunter or Terry Rozier or James Young in a trade with a draft pick. Who knows? Who knows what they're going to do? But it is troubling seeing the defense kind of collapse lately. Against the Knicks, the Knicks did it without Carmelo pretty much. I mean, they played an entire half without Carmelo. And then even Porzingis got into foul trouble late. Those guys like Jerry and Grant and Aaron Aflalo scoring a lot of buckets for them. I think the Suns game was a little bit misleading. I mean, the Celtics were pretty much ahead comfortably, and the Suns were kind of playing out the string in the last few minutes. I think that was a bit garbage time. The Wizards game was up and down, and then the Mavericks score a lot of points. And as overall, I think the Celtics struggle against larger teams, just, you know, forcing them away from the glass and teams that can keep their composure and score like the Mavericks and the Raptors. So, yeah, I mean, the Celtics bring the effort every night, but they just don't have the horses right now, and maybe they'll get them at the trade deadline.
Yeah, they're going to need results, and people are going to be screaming for results because, you know, 500 is what they were hanging around last year, and it, you know, obviously it's not bad, but it's fans want more, and the team wants more. They want to be a better team. So we'll see what happens in the next few weeks here. It will definitely be interesting to see what they can do over the next few weeks, see if the record is at the trade deadline, and they can take it from there. CLNS Radio, CLNS Beat Podcast Series, and Audible are giving you a free audiobook from the world's largest online library. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 180,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, and sports. You can go to audiblepodcast.com/Celtics to claim your free audiobook. So some stats from tonight. Celtics really good spread of the offense. Isaiah Thomas 21 points, 10 assists. Avery Bradley 19 points on 9 of 14 shooting. 18 points for Kelly Olynyk on 7 of 10. Jay Crowder 17 points on 7 of 11. Evan Turner even pitched in 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in just 22 minutes. So clearly, the offense wasn't the problem here tonight because the shooting was good, 50.6% shooting. Threes were great, 12 for 26. A lot of good offensive performances. Obviously, the defense wasn't good. DeRozan with 34 points for them, 19 points for Valanciunas, 9 for 9, 12 rebounds. Luis Scola killed the Celtics early, especially in the first half. For the game, he had 18 points on 8 of 12. And then they had Kyle Lowry and Terrence Ross pitch in with 14 apiece. They shot 55% from the field, so offense, no problem. Defense, definitely a problem. But there's some of your stats. But one stat I did want to talk about, Corey, was the Celtics three-point shooting, 12 for 26. And this is several games in a row now. I would go as far to say 3 or 4 games in a row where the three-point shooting is finally improving, and they're really starting to knock them down, which was not the case earlier in the season. What difference do you see there?
I think they're getting better looks, and they're gaining more confidence. Just based on two guys, Jay Crowder and Kelly Olynyk. They look miles away, miles better than they did earlier this season. Jay Crowder just seems to be growing with confidence each and every game as a primary ball handler / go-to kind of scorer. And then we talked about Olynyk. I mean, he's really stroking it from deep. He just seems confident in his shot, confident in his playmaking ability as well. It definitely comes with those two guys, but it also comes with Isaiah Thomas being a better creator. I mean, his shot was off tonight, but even so, he dished out 10 assists. I believe he's one of the leading assist guys in the Eastern Conference, but even if I'm incorrect in that, he's definitely in the top three or so. he's becoming better at getting other guys involved early in the game and then trying to take over later in the game. Avery Bradley started off with a bang this season from deep. He's kind of come back to normal, come back to earth a little bit, but he's still a threat from deep. They just seem to be getting more confident, you know, from distance, and that definitely helped them. They're really good at getting penetration and passing the ball around the key, as opposed to, you know, isolation basketball and relying on a couple of guys, as we've obviously talked about a bunch. But it'll be nice to see if Marcus Smart can kind of get his shot going. It's one of the things that has not been talked about so much within Celtics circles this season is his really disappearing shot act. I mean, he wasn't really a great shot maker last year, but he was a rookie, so you kind of expected him to improve upon that. That hasn't happened. So going forward, it'd be nice to see if he can develop a shot. I know Brad Stevens is going to keep encouraging him to shoot. I mean, the team is better off with him shooting rather than, you know, becoming gun-shy and becoming a liability on offense. But yeah, I think it's just confidence and getting better looks, getting better passes off drives to the basket.
Yeah, Jay Crowder's just been phenomenal. I mean, he's the guy that came here expecting to get defense. You know, he didn't play a lot in Dallas. He was hardly scoring any points, but you can almost rely on him for almost 20 points a night now. He had 17 tonight. He's had several games with 20 points. I mean, you can pretty much guarantee, unless it's a pretty bad off night for him, that he's going to get 15 to 20 points per game pretty much every night.
Yeah, I mean, this month alone, he's averaging 18, and that's been a nice, steady increase from the start of the season when the season started in October. So, I mean, from each month in October, he averaged about 10.5 to 11.4 in November, all the way up to 16 in December. And this month, he's averaging about 18 points a game. You know, going along with 2.3 assists and 5.4 rebounds, the steals are still there, which is a huge part of his game and what really – drives the Celtics defense is his ability to body up other players and generate steals. He's been an amazing find. I mean, as much as we talk about the Brooklyn trade, which is rightfully so, I mean, that was a steal of the century. The Jay Crowder trade is becoming each and every day a monumental win for Ainge, where he gets to keep a guy like Jay Crowder on a team-friendly deal, about $7 million per year over 5 years. And a guy who's kind of developing into a playmaking, you know, starting small forward, guy who can play a little bit of small ball as a power forward in this league that's starting to trend towards small ball. So he's been great.
Yeah, really, this is a huge breakout year, you know, averaging, you know, career highs in pretty much everything because he's playing more and he's become one of the leaders of the team. You know, he's 45% from the field. 35% from three, really become to rely on him for a lot of clutch threes. He's a good three shooter. 82% free throw percentage, that's fantastic. Get some rebounds, like you said, the steals. And the emotional leader, I mean, he's probably more like Kevin Garnett than any player that this team's had since Garnett. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, I think so. I can't really think of too many guys that could even come close. Nobody compares to Garnett in general, but I think no. Crowder brings a lot of the same kind of similarities as far as intensity and toughness goes. And that's actually one of the things the Celtics lacked last season. They've kind of lacked this season is that tough guy and that vocal emotional leader. I know Isaiah plays that part pretty well, but he's also, you know, 5'9" point guard. Smart's a bit on the younger side. But he's tough as nails. Crowder really fills that role well for this team. As a guy, you know, he has your back, and you know, guys want to play with him.
Yeah, no, he's definitely the man. He's, you know, people listen to him in the locker room. He does the interviews. He's, you know, when they lost those four games in a row the first time, he said that they lost their swagger. Then they won four straight games. All right, we got the swagger back. Like, people listen to him. He's that guy who's the voice that – sit in the clubhouse and obviously it's playing the court, spurs people on to do well. So I think obviously it's not Kevin Garnett. No one's Kevin Garnett and no one's going to be Kevin Garnett. But if you want to compare anyone to him, I think he's a good guy to compare it to. So I definitely like that. We're going to go to the FanDuel call lines in just a couple of minutes, but also I want everyone that's tuning in here to definitely stay tuned because in about 20 minutes, me and Corey are going to be doing a little mid-season report, giving out some awards for the Celtics for the first half of the season here. So definitely make sure you stay tuned to that. It'll be a fun little segment that we decided to do. But before we get to that, we'll do a call and talk about what I want to talk about right now, and that's Marcus Smart. Didn't have quite the game tonight. You know, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, which is, you know, obviously spreading it around, filling up the stat sheet. That's good. But he seems to be filling in more. He's feeling good. 20 points last game, 20.7, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. The game before, he had 13, 4, and 3. Obviously, always the defense good. The game before the Phoenix game, he had a triple-double, first of his career, 10, 11, and 11. So it seems like tonight aside, he didn't play quite as many minutes tonight. He had 4 fouls. But overall, it seems like he's getting healthy now, and the offense is starting to flow more, and he seems to be progressing into an all-around more pretty quickly here.
Yeah, he definitely is. He seems like he's getting his feet back a little bit, coming back from injury. The shot is still not there. That really needs to develop. And that's actually one of those things you won't really see it in the regular season be a detriment to the team. But if this team does advance to the playoffs and Smart's playing crunch time minutes, that's where it can really come back to bite you when you have a weak link on the floor like that. But his defense is all world, all first team pretty much. He can guard multitudes of players, guys from like Porzingis all the way down to Lowry, just any kind of player. He'll take the challenge. He's young. He's improving. I know Celtics fans have become a little bit frustrated with his shot, as well as his lack of point guard skills coming into the league and coming into this season. I know the Celtics wanted to kind of transition him into a point guard or as a secondary point guard. That hasn't truly happened, but yeah, point is to be patient with a guy like him. The best comparison seems to be a Chauncey Billups, a guy that took a while to develop as a point guard, a bigger bodied point guard. So just be patient with him, and he'll hopefully develop that outside shot, which he desperately needs.
Yeah, and he's extremely young, and I've even seen some strides from last year to this year. He's more confident going to the basket. He's got more mid-range jumper, then he's dropped a couple floaters recently, and he's just putting his game together more than he had last year. So I think he's getting more comfortable. If he can just stay healthy, which we can obviously hope for, then I think that he'll just keep getting better, and you got to give it time because he's young. So we'll see what happens with Marcus. We're going to head over now to the FanDuel call lines. They are now open toll-free, 347-215-7771. Once again, a reminder, if you missed it earlier, you can head over to FanDuel.com, use the CLNS promo code Celtics, and one day fantasy, every day you want, just pick 9 players and pick up your cash. So the line is now open. We've got a caller here, I believe. It is our frequent caller in, Nick Sesento, who, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be joining us as a host on the post-game show. So, Nick, if it's you, which I believe it is, congratulations.
Yeah.
Yes, me.
I finally convinced Jelso to let me get an official position since I call so frequently. You know, probably won't be that much of a change anyway since I'm on the show all the time. Anyways, it'll be the same, pretty much the same thing, except maybe a little more toned down and not as much. Let me squeeze as much as I can in my 5-minute call as I tend to do when I call in as a caller and not a host. But great show so far. You guys touched on pretty much everything that, you know, that I observed with the game. I think that the biggest problem, again, when you guys were talking about the defense not being there, it's incredibly difficult to play, you know, an up-tempo offensive game the way they try to play with Isaiah Thomas, the hard push, and then try to break it down into a half court, you know what I'm saying, defense. That's one of the most difficult things in basketball to do, is to be able to flip that switch, you know, possession by possession. You get that steal, you get the, you know, you get that thing, and then you're off to the races and you're running. And I think the fact that this team is so young and has, you know, so much depth, even though I think obviously Coach Stevens has trimmed the rotation quite a bit. I think that's the only reason that we've been able to run like that. But I think the in the end, when you look at it, you can see that the defense is struggling as a result. And that's basically what happens. And I think that the problem with that is, you know, from last year when this team went on a run to the playoffs and this year, is that you had a guy who could run in half court offense, and that's Evan Turner. And he was starting the game and he was able to run that. We've kind of shifted away from that to increase our possessions, which I think is a smart move. I don't disapprove of the move of Isaiah Thomas into the starting lineup. I think that's great. But I think that when you need, you know, to slow a game down, when you need things, you need to, you know, not increase the possession so DeMar DeRozan is, you know, scoring, 34 points on you. I mean, sometimes you got to slow the game down. And that's when you need Evan Turner. And hopefully that person will one day be Marcus Smart, because I think that's the idea. But Marcus Smart, you know, getting back to Marcus Smart when you were talking about earlier, Evan Turner's, like, I guess his role with the Celtics has kind of been that stopgap until Marcus Smart or somebody, whether it's through a trade or maybe it's Marcus Smart, you know, his development, or maybe it's Terry Rozier, who comes in, I don't know who it's going to be, becomes that, you know, that pure passing, you know, passer on the team. And it would help if it were somebody like Smart, who's a little bit bigger, to offset, you know, the lack of size with Isaiah Thomas. Because when you say small ball, you know, when the Celtics, it really is small ball. I mean, it's as small a ball as it practically can get, especially when you have, you know, Sully at 6'9" or Amir Johnson at 6'8", 6'9", you know, playing the, you know, basically a two forward front court and then a three guard, you know, setter, you know, two guards and Jay Crowder. It's pretty small basketball. And I don't know, not to get off onto another tangent completely, but for me, I think it's about time that maybe we bring up Jordan Mickey, who's a guy who's young. He can run. He's not a big lumbering center, but he can block shots. And I think that's an element that we've been missing in the defensive game. Our defense has kind of slipped. We've been able to make up for it with, you know, strong defense on the perimeter with, you know, Avery Bradley when he's healthy, Marcus Smart when he's healthy. Now they're both healthy, but haven't really had that guy on the back line when the perimeter defense kind of breaks down or when somebody has a disadvantage to, you know, really get in there and alter shots to change shots. And I think you can see that also. I mean, there's no reason Luis Scola should be, you know, tearing us up like that. And there's no reason Jonas Valanciunas should be getting that many points and rebounds. I know he's a good player. They're both good players. But, I mean, we really have nobody in there with that type of size or athleticism or any type of presence whatsoever, really, so to speak, to get us in the, you know, to help us out in the middle. I think that's a big issue for us. I mean, it's just we can play small ball. We're suited for it. Stevens can coach it. But I think you have to have the versatility to be able to break it down into a half-court game sometimes, and that requires somebody that can protect the rim.
That's a great take, Nick, as always. I agree on the center. The lack of center is killing them right now because, I mean, last season what seemed to be the transition in the small ball as a whole for the league, as we saw, the Golden State Warriors really perfect that. And a lot of teams are trying to do that this year, trying to mimic what the Warriors did. And what the Warriors did was pretty special. I mean, they did it with all-world players like Draymond Green, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, first-round pick in Harrison Barnes. And then they had Iguodala and Bogut. If they wanted to go big, they could put Bogut in there. And then we saw in the finals, they really amped it up, and they went Iguodala. Right now, the Celtics don't have the guys to do it. That's probably their best bet going forward as far as being competitive in games and winning games. I know they really like Olynyk. They want to get him time on the court. So they're truly trying to emphasize him as ball handler as well as an outside threat. It's really just not working right now for them against these bigger teams that can throw out guys like Valanciunas and even Biombo, who only played 16 minutes and grabbed 4 rebounds, but he blocked 3 shots. And he was a force down low as far as being a pest and being a big body down there. And the Celtics, they don't have that guy.
And Olynyk just isn't a force physically, I think. You know what I mean? To really be that guy for a full game or in moments when it really counts, when games get physical, when they're not calling those fouls, you know, when the refs are choking on their whistles, which happens quite frequently with the Celtics. But anyways, you know, he's just not that guy that's banging down there. He's really more of a finesse player. I mean, the bounce is real. I love his dunks. He had a nasty jam tonight, you know, and he had that put back, you know, a couple weeks ago with the classic quote, "The bounce is real." I like his game. His game is really improving, but he's not a banger down low. He's not somebody that's going to give you that extra presence. And I think if we had something, you know what I'm saying, anything down low, if there was even a semblance of anything down low, Jared Sullinger, as big as he is, he's just not a post player. If I see another Jared Sullinger fade away from, like, you know, 11 feet plank off the back rim or off the front rim, I'm going to, like, you know, jump off a building. I mean, we have no post presence. And when you don't have that, it really makes it difficult for the Celtics to, or for any team, if you don't have something that collapses down, you know, down low, it makes it difficult to hit those perimeter shots. And while I'd like to get excited about, the 3-point shooting percentage against the Raptors, the 46%, the Raptors, I think, have some of the worst 3-point defense in the league. So, I mean, we definitely shot better tonight. We actually hit the shots that were open. We don't always do that. But, I mean, this was against a team that gave us, you know, plenty of open looks and isn't known for its 3-point defense. So, you know, definitely there has to be there's really only two options to collapse the defense, and that's Isaiah Thomas or Evan Turner. Who else is really getting to the hoop frequently off the dribble or getting to the hoop like that? They can collapse the defense and open up the perimeter for open shots. We have nothing, but that's all I got.
All right, Nick. Thanks for the call, and look forward to to when you're hosting.
Cool. Appreciate it. Good luck, guys.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Good luck.
Take care. All right. Good stuff there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's with the center thing, it's like we already have too many. They're not playing that well. They kind of shuffle through in terms of minutes. And then you have someone like Kelly Olynyk who's playing really well, but there's no one to block shots. And, yeah, Mickey's good at that, but is a rookie going to be any better than anybody else? It just seems like they're kind of stuck in terms of big guys.
Yeah, well, I think they'd really like to get Mickey up here. I haven't really heard anything specifically, but it seems like they really want to get him up here. He's kind of exhausted all of his playing time and his efforts up in Maine. I think the problem is, and this is one of Ainge's biggest mistakes this offseason, was the David Lee acquisition. I mean, Mickey would be perfect in that role. I mean, coming in, playing a few minutes here and there, if he plays well, keep him in the game. But right now, Lee has that spot. And unless they want to buy him out right now or come to some sort of agreement, I think that'll happen eventually if they can't trade him. You know, they don't have a place for Mickey, unfortunately. James Young has a spot. I don't think they want to bring him back, put him back in Maine. I know RJ Hunter and Terry Rozier kind of rotated in and out of Maine. But I think Mickey would be just an easy option for them to kind of plug in and see what he has. As far as the big guy in the middle who can – maybe not block a ton of shots from the get-go. That's kind of hard to ask a rookie to do, but at least deter shots, you know, from guys driving to the basket. Because Olynyk's not that guy. Amir Johnson can be that guy. Maybe not as consistently as he once was. His minutes per game, you know, it fluctuates pretty rapidly. And we know Sullinger is pretty ground bound, a good rebounder usually. Not tonight, but he's not going to block any shots either.
Yeah, it's something's not working there, and they need a fix. So we'll see what happens. All right, let's want to play our game now.
You want to do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so we're gonna do some midseason awards. I've got, I believe, five awards to give away. If you wanna add any at the end, then we can add them. But we'll start with the first five. We'll switch off. So we'll start with you going first, then I'll go, then you go, et cetera, et cetera. Just in case we pick each other's, then at least we'll both have our own chance. Yeah. So we'll start with the obvious one. Who is your Celtics first half MVP?
MVP, that is actually a harder choice than it seems with the way Jay Crowder's been coming on. His defensive numbers are really, really key for this team, but I think it has to be Isaiah Thomas. Just based off of his overall numbers, the points per game, the assists per game, the way he's become a playmaker, not just a shot taker or a shot maker within this team. His percentages are pretty good, especially for a guy that shoots as much as he does. And he's really there a lot of times their only offense. I know Jay Crowder has kind of blossomed into that role, but a lot of that is off of what Isaiah does. Without him, they'd be lost. They'd definitely be in the bottom part of the Eastern Conference as far as their record goes. And he's kind of the guy that makes it happen for them. When he's off, the team is usually not playing up to capacity. And I think he's been the MVP so far. What say you?
Yeah, I got the same thing. I definitely thought about Crowder too, but if you're talking about an all-star for the Celtics, the person people are talking about is Isaiah Thomas, obviously. And it's just, he's become so consistent. My knock on him really since we got him was that, he'd have a good game and then he'd shoot 4 for 18 and score like 10 points. He had several of those games last year. Those games aren't happening anymore. And he's just been really consistent. He's averaging 22 points per game, which is what you start talking about, one of the better players in the league, right? DeMar DeRozan averages the same thing. He's one of the better players in the league, at least in terms of scoring. So Thomas has got that 6.5 assists. He's really, really doing well with that. I mean, he's definitely having a career year. He's been really good in the past too, obviously, but his numbers are slightly better this year than they have been any year. His free throw shooting is just incredible, upwards almost 90%. I wish he was a little better at threes, but he gives you the whole rest of the package, and he's your go-to guy. He's the guy who can go to the basket when you need to. It's, the offense revolves around him. The team revolves around him. So I can't find any reason to not pick him for MVP. And I'm sure most Celtics fans would agree. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think he's done so much for this team. Just kind of helping their identity, making them contenders as far as the playoffs go, and kind of putting them back on the map on the NBA landscape. When these past couple of years, the Celtics, once they got rid of Pierce and Garnett, were off of the national landscape pretty much altogether. So he's done a lot off the court, on the court. His production is huge, and I think he deserves to be on the All-Star team. It's going to be tough competition, but it'll be close.
Yeah, I want a player from us so we can – root for somebody and be like, yeah, that's right, we got an all-star. That would be fun. That we need that, and I hope we get it. So we'll see. Isaiah Thomas, both of us, MVP. All right, move on. I'll answer this one first. And the rest of these questions we may have some disagreement on, and I hope we do, just for the sake of having
good radio.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the same answer, obviously, don't change it. But so next category, most improved player for the Celtics. This can be – you can take this whichever way you want. If you want it to be most improved throughout the season or most improved from last season to this season, either way, go for it. I'm going to say most improved from last season to this season, and I'm going with Jay Crowder because his numbers have just spiked. I mean, I talked about it earlier. He's gone up basically every category in terms of numbers. And in terms of being the leader, his steals are just off the charts. He's more improved – defensively, offensively, off the court, he's improved everywhere. And I think that he's just the most noticeable guy. And if we're going from talking about a guy who was a throw-in from a trade to emerging a little more toward the end of last season to potentially picking him as our MVP of the season when we have a potential all-star, as we just did about 2 minutes ago, I think you got to go with most improved. You're talking about from one season to the next. So I'm going with Crowder. What do you got?
Yeah, hate to agree with you, but I think it has to be Crowder. That's the way he's done it defensively. A stat that I saw this week, was that he's fifth amongst small forwards in ESPN's Real Plus Minus, which take it for what you want, but it's a basic measurement of how good a guy is with the rest of his teammates. He's behind the likes of LeBron James, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Kevin Durant. So he's amongst really elite other all-star MVP caliber players as far as the advanced statistics go. And his shooting this year has really improved. Outside shooting up to about 36-35%. He's become a great playmaker, and the steals on defense are really what triggers the fast break for this team. He's really, really improved and become maybe not an all-star this year, but the fact that he's warranted some consideration for the Olympic team is pretty big unto itself.
Yep, Jay's the man. And hey, you know what? We agreed, but we both watch the team, we both cover the team, and we know who's doing it. So it's no surprise that we agree on this stuff. So.
Bradley was making strides earlier this year, but he's kind of come back down to earth as far as his shooting goes, and he's not getting to the line well at all. He's never really done that much in his career, but he was doing that earlier in this season a little bit better.
Yeah, and he's just not improving that much going to the basket. So hard to pick him as most improved when you have someone like Crowder who's sitting there and someone like Bradley who's sitting back a little bit. So, all right, you can go first on this next one. And the category is Celtics' best bench player this year. And I think what I'm going to say is excluding Isaiah Thomas because he's been starting mostly recently. And if we're gonna put him on the bench, then obviously we're gonna say him. So exclude Isaiah Thomas. Who's the best bench player?
That's a good one actually, because a lot of different guys have kind of started for this team. You'd like to pick Smart, but I don't think he's played in enough games to warrant that. Solinger started a majority of the games, so I won't include him. I think it has to be Olynyk, just the way he's kind of become not an offensive force, but somebody who the Celtics can rely on when they're struggling for points and they're trying to generate some offense, particularly when the second unit comes in and he can kind of exploit some awkward matchups against other bigs, or he can exploit other bench players. But yeah, the shooting we've seen over the past month has been quite amazing. He seems to be gaining a lot more confidence going towards the basket, taking guys off the dribble. You'd like to see that free throw percentage get up there a little bit more and maybe get to the line more, as well as grab some more rebounds and become a better rebounder just in general. He's not very good at that yet. But as far as bench guys go, he's been there pretty much the whole way. I don't think he's missed a game. Maybe he's missed a couple. But he's been the most consistent guy off the bench, and I think he deserves that honor.
All right, we're going to have our first disagreement. Obviously, I like that, and it's totally a valid pick, and I thought about that too. But I'm going to go with Evan Turner, and a little hot and cold with him. His numbers are pretty similar to Olynyk if you want to go for the whole season-wise. Obviously, Turner's probably the most inconsistent player in the team, but I'm still going with best bench player because when he plays more, he's good. He had a little stretch there when Smart was out where he scored 13, 19, 20, 12, 12, 17, 10. And he was also getting 5 to 10 rebounds and 3 to 8 assists throughout all those games. And that's when he was playing 27 to 37 minutes. Nowadays, with Smart back, Turner's playing more like 20 to 25. He's only shooting 4 to 6 shots a game. And as a result, only scoring 5 to 10 points per game. So obviously his numbers have gone down as the playing time has gone down, but he still makes it happen. Even just if you want to go for the last three games, obviously I'm talking about the whole season together, but at least recently, last three games, 6-5-5, 4-3-8, 11-5-5. So he's getting the job done in his limited minutes, and he's good at attacking the basket. He's always good for his mid-range shots. He gets the ball rolling, and he's obviously a good bench guy, and he always does interviews in the clubhouse. So I just like his overall package, and he's been solid for the last couple of years, and going from a starter role to a bench role, I think he's still done a good job with it. So I'm going to give Turner my best bench player.
Fair? I just wish he wouldn't shoot threes anymore. I don't think
he's terrible.
he's been really good. He's been really, I think overall the one detriment, It's not really a detriment to him. He's best with the ball in his hands. I think that can sometimes, it detract from other guys a little bit. But he's actually saved this team a lot of times when they've been struggling for points, and he can create off the dribble. He's one of the few guys on the team that can do that. So he's been pretty valuable for the team off the bench.
Yeah, exactly. I think just being a leader, being in the league for 6 years, he's a more veteran presence. I think guys listen to him, so. I think he's a good guy to have around. Obviously not probably a long-term solution, but for now, he's good for the team. So I'm giving him his award. All right, next one I'll start with. And this one, I'm very interested for what you have to say, but we'll see what I have to say first. Biggest disappointment for the season this year. player wise. You go a lot of different ways on this. I juggle like four or five different names trying to figure out who I should pick. And my pick's probably going to surprise you and probably most people, and especially because he's one of my favorite players in the team. My biggest disappointment, I'm going with Avery Bradley. And the reason is because at the beginning of the season, I was looking for him to be extremely consistent and really start getting up and averaging closer to Isaiah Thomas numbers, like 17 to 20 points per game. And he was doing it for a while, and I was really excited. And then he started falling off the map. He's only at 14.5 points per game. He's not making shots late in the game. He's struggling to be a playmaker. He still can't drive to the basket. He's still not getting free throws. And he's just not making the strides I want him to. And it's frustrating to me because I know he has it in him from time to time. And like tonight, 19 points. Good. So bad night to pick him, but that's just what it was. So just overall, I love him. But I need his offense to be more consistent in there all the time because we need him to be one of our best players. Because he should be, and we need that. So I'm going with him for my biggest disappointment.
His play recently hasn't been as well as it has been as it was early this season. But I have to go with David Lee, just based off of the expectations coming with his overall pedigree as a former All-Star, former 2010 guy. I know last season in Golden State, he had probably his worst season since his rookie year. But the difference in athletic ability, you know, from a couple of years ago is pretty stark with him. I mean, the guy can't get off the ground, when he's played for this team. The team is clearly better with him on the bench, as opposed to him on the court. I mean, whenever he's on the court, teams really just go at him. Defensively, he has a lot of minuses, can't block shots. So you can't really play him at center, gets taken advantage of against smaller lineups, quicker guys. He's been the biggest disappointment, and especially when you factor in the fact that the Celtics had high expectations. They went out and traded for him, and it ended up just bunching up the roster. I know we haven't really heard much from Ainge as far as that transaction goes or anything having to do with David Lee goes, but if he had to have a mulligan, I think it'd be that Lee trade from this past offseason.
Yeah, I figured you were going to pick that, which is kind of why I didn't pick it, because I kind of agree. The disappointment is David Lee. My disappointment for my personal expectations is Bradley.
You could go with Smart, too, just the fact that he got hurt again, and he's been hurt the past two seasons, or this rookie season he got hurt pretty early on, and this season he got hurt pretty early on and kind of set the team back, so Smart wouldn't have been a bad choice either.
Yeah, and Tyler Zeller wouldn't have been a bad choice either, just not from his own standpoint, but just from a playing time standpoint, going from a starter who was very effective last year to barely even being able to get off the bench. That's a disappointment for him, not necessarily he being the disappointment. I guess maybe Brad thinks that he earned his spot on the bench. I'm not really sure if I agree with that, but in terms of a playing standpoint, just where his career is right now, I would say it's definitely a disappointment for him at least.
Yeah, you kind of feel bad for him, just how much of an impact he had last year for the surprising team last year. He was one of the most consistent guys. I think he played in all 82 games last year. He led the team in PER. He was one of the top guys in PER as far as efficiency goes. But he's been glued to the bench. It's tough to play him.
Spot on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to play him against smaller lineups. And when Amir Johnson is playing as well as he has, with a starting unit, it's tough to find time for Zeller.
Yeah, it's too bad. So like I said, lots of possibilities for disappointment. So there's ours. And my final one. And I'll let you go first on this one. Biggest surprise for the Celtics.
Biggest surprise. That was a good one. I mean, yeah, I could go Jay Crowder again easily because he's definitely surprised from last year as far as taking a bigger leap. But I'll go with Amir Johnson this year. Just based off the fact that I never really got to see him play in Toronto. I mean, outside of those four playoff games they'd be in from the past two seasons when they got swept, you never really got to see him on a national stage. And he was never really a guy that you'd see on SportsCenter highlights or, you know, at top tens or anything like that. But he's really been one of the rocks defensively. I know that starting unit is one of the better starting units as far as defensive rating goes, and he's kind of spearheaded that from the center position He leads the team in blocks, which is huge because, you know, as we've been talking about before, the team really lacks a shot blocker. But, yeah, it's been a nice surprise watching him play and kind of develop a nice chemistry with this team.
Yeah, no, I like that pick. That's a good one. I'm going to go elsewhere, and you picked him for your best bench player. But I'm going with him for my biggest surprise, Kelly Olynyk, just with how much he's ratcheted up his shooting percentage. He's just becoming such a reliable shooter, which is great to see because we knew he had the offense, and he's really showing it now and really, as we said earlier, using his minutes well. So I like him as my biggest surprise just from an offensive standpoint, really taking that next step. So now people are saying, wow, look at Kelly's shooting. He's shooting, you know, 42% from three. This guy's really lighting it up. Maybe not what people would have expected, not the guy that people would have expected to be talking about. So that's why I'm going to go with him for biggest surprise. I think he deserves that.
I like that. I like that choice. Are you pro man bun or pro long hair?
I loved his long hair, but, man, the bun looks good and he's playing well with it. So why not keep rolling with it?
Yeah, it seems like the bun's doing him well. Nice and tight and compact.
I know his numbers are better with it, so fine. Keep it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, whatever he wants to do. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, but he ain't cutting it because then he wouldn't be Kelly Olynyk anymore.
No, the flying Canadian.
That's right. Yeah, return for Kelly to his hometown tonight, and Amir Johnson returning to Toronto, even though he only scored 2 points. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah, right, Toronto's one of the best teams in the East. So the Celtics, they hung in pretty tight in this game. And they definitely played with a lot of heart. I just thought, you know, Toronto does some things well that really exploit the Celtics their weaknesses on a defensive end.
Yep, not having that star player really hurts against them. So, too bad would have been nice to pick up a division win against, like you said, the second-best team in the East currently right now. So, oh well, what are you going to do? We got a couple minutes left here, so we're just going to preview the next couple of games here, go over them briefly. We did this last time, the last show we did together, which was that fantastic Lakers game against Kobe in his last game, and we predicted them to sweep the Nets and do all this great stuff, and they went on to lose 6 of the next 7 after that. So, hopefully, we won't be so off with our predictions and send them into another tailspin here with our predictions. So let's just look ahead. Next 3 games, I'll say we got Chicago at home on Friday. We got Philadelphia on the road on Saturday. And Washington again in Washington on Monday. How do you see those 3 games playing out?
Yeah, well, Friday is going to be the true test. Playing against the Chicago team who beat them. You know, when Brad Stevens was gone, you know, visiting his former pupil, and Andrew Smith, who's visiting him. So that would be huge, that Friday game against the Bulls. I think they'll play them tough. The Bulls' size right now is a huge concern. I know they lost Noah for a long time, but when they roll Gasol and Gibson, and they can play McDermott and Mirotić as well. Their size can cause a problem for the Celtics. And obviously Jimmy Butler is a two-way force. So the key would be stopping Butler as well as forcing the Bulls off the glass. And you can't overlook the Sixers as funny as that might sound. I know they've been playing a lot better since they brought in point guard Ish Smith from the Pelicans. They've been playing a lot better, a little bit pesky. I know they killed the Trailblazers the other night. So I think the Celtics take care of business in the Sixers game. They've really had their number against the Wizards as well. The Bulls game, I don't know if they'll win that one. It'll be a tough one at home. Celtics haven't really had that home record they've had in the past seasons. So that game Friday bears a lot of monitoring. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, the Celtics beat the Bulls at home in December. I went to that game. It's the only game I've been to this year so far. So that was a good win. Maybe we can get a second home win against the Bulls. That would be great. I think we can win that. I think with Noah being out, just contain Butler or stop everybody else would be the biggest benefit. So I think the Celtics win that. I think we beat the Sixers because we kind of played around with them recently, and I think they'll focus more and play a better game this time. But like you said, the Sixers have won 6 games now. They've won a couple in the last couple of days. So watch out for them, but hopefully we can play them tough. And I think maybe we lose to Washington because we are 3-0 against Washington this year. four-game sweeps are tough. I think they'll be angry after losing by two in the last game that they just had last week. So I like a 2-1 here in the next three games, and that would be good, especially after losing the last two here the last couple of days. So that's my prediction.
Yeah, that'd be nice, especially with all these games seemingly coming, one at a time. They've had a lot of games this month, so if they can come out 2-1, that'd be nice.
Yeah, definitely. All right, that's going to do it for us here. Once again, the Celtics lose 115-109 to the Raptors, fall to 22-21, lost the last two games in a row after falling to the Mavericks in overtime on Monday. And I want to encourage everyone to call into future shows here at CLNS Radio, 347-215-7771, FanDuel toll-free call line. Hope you enjoyed another edition of the Jess and Corey show, and you should be, barring any changes, getting another one on February 10th is the next time we're scheduled together. I guess Matt really likes us together because he keeps signing us up for the same show here recently.
I guess so, man. We're just developing a nice chemistry, maybe a little Lowry DeRozan, Isaiah Crowder, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, so we'll be back then. I'm doing a couple shows before that, and you might be too, so look forward to our future shows and enjoy all the shows here in the meantime. So once again, Corey Prescott and Jess Thomas, I hope you all have a wonderful evening.